everyone. My name is Pastor Maya Rodriguez. I want to welcome you to my weekly podcast. It is a true privilege to be able to share the good news of God's Word with you. Enjoy.
Great, great. Come on, give God the glory. So many applauses this morning. Okay, guys, buckle your seatbelts. I got 22 minutes to share the Word of God, but this is going to be a mini series, basically a mini series just this week, next week, so whatever I get through, I get through, and then we're just going to continue it on. It's a two-week series because then we're going to get ready to have Pastor Chris Hodges from Church of the Highlands. This is my personal pastor, my husband's personal pastor, and he's coming, and I just cannot believe he's coming. How many people do they have in their church, babe? Babe, how many people do they have in their church? 69,000 people, 69,000 people, okay, yeah, and we're going to have him here on Sunday because he loves us and he loves you, amen? So we're so happy for that. So anyway, this mini-series, like I said, buckle your seatbelt, turn your neighbor and say, you better buckle your seatbelt because it's going to get bumpy, yes. The title of this series is Those People. Yes, turn to your neighbor and say, are you one of those people? How many know what I'm talking about when I say those people? Don't raise your hand and don't look at them because they'll know you're looking at them, okay? It probably isn't hard for you to think of a difficult person in your own life. Because even in the best of families, there is at least one. Say with me, there's at least one. Some of y'all, I have more than one, right? Because the crazies are everywhere. Yes, they are. There is at least one in every family, like I said, but in every job, there's at least one crazy. On every team. Now, there's usually more than one crazy at the DMV, though. And there's a lot of crazy at the airport. I was traveling yesterday, and oh my gosh, our flight got delayed, pushed back 3 or 4 times. People were getting crazy. There was one man just shouting about how much he hated the airline until the manager's like, sir, there's children, because he was using curse words. And he's just like, sir, there is children in this place. I'm going to ask you to keep it down. Now, we all understood his frustration. But he was going overboard, right? He's like, you know what? I apologize. It's true. Bad on me. I'm just frustrated. We get you, sir. But there was a extra crazy lady that just continued where he left off and decided she wasn't going to be quiet and decided she, I don't even like to say Karen, because if you're, you know, your name is Karen, I'm sorry. But literally like a double Karen, okay? Totally. She almost didn't get on the plane. Because she was so bad. But there are crazies, right? Now, if you are thinking, and when I mention, you're like, I don't see any. It's probably you, okay? If you never see the crazies, it's probably you. Say with me, those people are crazy. Yes, wacko, cuckoo, cray cray. Those people are critical, controlling, hypocritical, arrogant, and outright mean. There are crazies and they're mean. Those people usually think they know everything about everything. And worst of all, they're gonna let you know. Worst of all, they're gonna tell you, even if you don't ask, right? I always tell mother-in-laws. I'm a mother-in-law now. And I'm not a grandma yet, but when I am, I'm gonna learn, like, you know, just don't just always share everything that you did, because if they don't ask you, they probably don't want your opinion. And you're just crazy when you just meddle. Say, oh my gosh, amen, pray for me. Okay, so those people are most oftentimes found on the sidelines, though. They're not in the middle. They're not on the team. Right? They're not actually doing life with you. They're not actually serving. They're on the sidelines judging. They're criticizing anyone who attempts anything. So if you're crazy but you're in it, welcome to the team, okay? We need you. But when you're crazy and you're not in it, but you're just judgy, Like, for example, we're like doing the Heart for the House, right? You haven't even given a dollar yet you judge. And I'm like, dude, you're crazy, because why would you judge something you're not part of, right? But we judge, we go, I mean, that's crazy. So they don't want to solve the problem. They don't have any positive contributions to make, but they sure do know better than everyone else, right? They think they know better than everyone else. And yes, those people are problematic. And those people, say with me, those people, yep, those people are difficult people. They want more than you can give. They take more than you have to offer, and they expect more than what you can actually do. Emotional vampires, I almost called it that, sucking the last drop of life, of joy out of most situations. Those people are downright depleting. And over time, you realize something. They're crazy is negatively affecting you. Their crazy is driving you crazy. Their crazy has you being crazy. Max Lucado actually calls them missionaries of misery, sent into your life with one purpose: to bring misery. Today we're going to talk about dealing with those people. How many are ready to learn how to deal with those people? Dealing with the crazy makers. Tell your neighbor that's sitting there looking all innocent, you don't fool me. You look like a crazy maker. Truth is, it doesn't take a devil to drain me. It just takes an exhausting person. Sometimes it just takes one conversation with an exhausting, negative person. And I don't like to speak ill about anyone, but we have one of those in Mexico, in Cancun, and he's one of our neighbors, and there's never anything good to say. It's like, dude, you're living in paradise, because he lives there full time, living in paradise, eating the best of food, getting served on, waited on, hand and foot, and yet he never has something positive to say. After you're done with the conversation with that person, you just feel like life has been sucked out of you. So what do we do with those people? That's basically the question we're trying to answer in these 2 weeks. What do we do with those people, with the crazy makers in our life? Our natural tendency is to want to run the other way, to avoid them, to point fingers at them, because many of you guys, you loved it when we said, those people. Say with me, those people. Take out one of your fingers and say, those people, right? And we love to say those people, but is running away from them, is pointing the finger at them, is talking about them actually the godly thing to do? Does it actually honor God? Now brace for impact. You guys have your seatbelts on? Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, brace for impact. Yesterday we were on the way to the airport, literally, and this guy just did it. It wasn't even a hit, because it was like a tap, right? But it's like out of nowhere, just boom, just hit us, like just a little tap. Yeah, just out of nowhere, just hit us. And I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, I could either go crazy or we could just, right? It's like, okay, nothing happened. It was just a tap. But they're everywhere. Like, it can happen, right? Brace for impact. You never know when you're going to get hit, and the Holy Spirit has a word for you. So just brace for impact. It might just be a little tap, or it might just be a couple of cachetadas, a couple of slaps on your face, right? Okay. So as followers of Jesus, we are called to love people. I didn't get a lot of amens to that. I know you guys love those crazy. You loved it when we were pointing the finger. But as followers, as us Christians, turn to the Christian next to you. Turn to the person that just took Holy Communion, who just raised their hands, who just tithed, who just gave offering, who just got ready and came to church. Us Christians, we are called to love people and all people. It's all people, even the crazy makers. Oh, no, no. Church, I need to hold on. Why? Because the Bible says to love one another. I know that the Bible says to love one another. I know that the Bible says that. And I know that the Bible says that God is love. And I know that the Bible says that they will know who we are because the way that we love each other sounds good, but can we actually do it? Church, the question is, can we actually do it? And this is what we're going to be unpacking today and next week. Because it sounds good, but is it possible? What do we do when you find yourself frustrated and angry? And I'm trying to make it light and I'm trying to make you laugh, but in actuality, the crazy people, when they're actually driving you crazy and you just can't anymore, you've just had it, you're done. What do we do with those people? Ephesians 4:26 and on says this: in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Let me just pause here. There's a comma. Some of us need to take a break on this one, right? Okay, let's take a break. Let's receive it. Forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. In your anger, do not sin. In your anger, that's Bible, in your anger. Your anger is valid. But in your anger, do not sin. When do we sin? When we let the sun go down, when you are still angry, when you continue to be angry. And then verse 27 says, and do not give the devil a foothold. So the point here is, in your anger, which is a valid anger, they're crazy. Those people are crazy. And what they did was wrong. But in your anger, your valid anger, don't sin. This implies that it's not a sin to be angry. You can get angry, but it's a sin to stay angry. Church, come on. It's a sin to stay angry, to continue. There is no win in living offended. Life is never better when you're offended, when you're bitter, when you're resentful, when your heart is hardened because of those crazy people. Your life will never be better. It's not. It's agony. It's literally a living hell. A living hell. See, being offended is inevitable, but living offended is a choice. Offense is going to happen. You don't choose it, but it happens. But living offended is your choice to make. Be careful not to hold on to anger. To nurture offense. To cradle it. Oh, this is mine. This is my little baby, right? And it grows, and you're still like, you're carrying it. It's like 40-year-old, you know, giant now. Because you've been carrying it since you were 7. And you still talk about it. I remember when my cousin, we were little. Oh, my gosh. Family reunions. There's always that one cousin. Always remember who used to eat her food. Always remember who stole her whatever. Always remember who pushed her off the swing. It's like, never is there a good, positive story. I'm like, how long, girl? Like gray hair. And you're talking about when we were 7. Right, but we nurture offense. Just go over it again and again, and you replay the hurt, and you replay the words, what he said, how she said it, what they were wearing. Was it cold? Was it hot? I mean, it's just playing and playing. You just know all of it in your mind. It's emotionally exhausting to replay those words, to relive the anger. Am I talking to anybody who has done this? Because I'm talking from my heart. I'm speaking through from the word of God through myself. Come on. See, because when you rehearse it, you nurture it. What you rehearse, you nurture. We must not nurture offense. Be careful not to give the devil, yes, that's his name, the devil, Satan, the father of lies, better known as the prince of darkness. And the word of God says, don't give him a foothold. See, I always thought, come here, babe. Help me with this. I always thought a foothold was something like this. Like he's trying to get away, right? Like he's running, like you're running, right? And then like the devil's like, I gotcha, right? And he's trying to go, I'm like, I gotcha, right? So, and at least, that's what I always imagine, thank you, babe, as a foothold. Like you're trying to go and, oh my gosh, he got me, right? A foothold. Or you're trying to close the door and then somebody puts their foot in the door. It's like a foothold, like it just stops it. But actually, in the Hebrew, topos is not holding onto a foot or putting the foot to stop something. It's a place. It's a room. It's a space. What the Word of God is saying, don't give the devil a room, a space, a place in your heart, in your life, because he will take over. When we hold on to hurt or anger towards those people, say with me, those people, we're giving the devil a place, a space, room in our home, in our hearts, in our families, to do what? To work against us. Church, I don't want to give the devil any access to my marriage. I don't want to give the devil any access to the relationship with my girls. I don't want to give the devil any room, any space to a relationship with friends, with you guys especially. I don't want to give the devil any space in church with my church family by holding on to offense, by holding on to hurt, by being so critical, right? Pastor Craig Rochelle gave this example, and I just love the way he said it. I was like, I'm just going to totally just copy it. Because he's like, okay, just imagine this. If we're like all like demons, right? That's why I say it's his, okay? We're like all like devils, right? We're all demons in hell. And we're like, we need to go and attack. We need to go and break God's heart. Because God is love, right? We want to break his heart. What are we going to do? So we're going to strategize. So like, okay, what can we do? What can we do? And he says this. He's like, then they come up with the three D's of destruction. First D, divide. Let's divide families. With these little, let's divide friends. Let's divide churches. Let's just bring those, right? Just like Republicans and Democrats, right? Just mention that. One time I had somebody leave the church because I didn't vote the way they did. I'm like, are you serious? But I love you. You say you're inclusive of everyone. I'm including you. And he's like, I know I'm inclusive of everyone except for you because you're a Republican, okay? So, but okay. And I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute, I love you though. Like literally a friend. I love you, what's going on? Nope, divide. I'm like, what the heck? How about the non-vax? Oh my gosh, girl, guy, if you're non-vax, that's fine. That's fine, but do not force it on anyone else. But haters. How about the mask or no mask? Oh, because it's the sign of the devil, right? It's the 666. It's the Antichrist. Like, literally, are we really going to go there? Are we going to make the mask a point of division? Well, we did. We did. People were divided over wearing or not wearing a mask. It's like, are you serious? The devil wants to divide, ruin marriages, split churches. I mean, seriously. Then he wants to distract. So number one, he wants to divide. Number two, he wants to distract. So get them mad over everything else except what the vision is. So there are, can you imagine the demons in hell? And they're like, yep. Okay, so we divided them, right? We divided some. Now we're going to distract them. We're going to give them things to argue about that really don't matter. For example, one time we had this vacuum cleaner in church, and it was brand Dirt Devil. Someone got offended because someone else had donated the Dirt Devil to church, and they got offended that we had a Dirt Devil. How can you vacuum the sanctuary with a Dirt Devil? I'm like, are you serious? Guys, you guys laugh, but some of y'all let little tiny things. Someone didn't say hello. I didn't like the song. It was too cold. It was too hot. You know, they said this. They said that. They're wearing this. They're wearing that. Literally, the devil wants to divide, right? So, and distract. And thirdly, he wants to discredit us.
He says, I'm going to discredit their witness. I'm going to make them so repulsive to the world that they're not going to. See, most people love Jesus. What they don't like is Christians. Come on, you guys. Clap for it just so that it doesn't hurt so hard. See, most people say yes to Christ. They say no to Christians. FYI, you're a Christian. FYI, when someone says, I didn't like the church, and they leave, don't point at me. Don't just point at me. Y'all the church. If they didn't stay, or if you don't, it's because y'all, they didn't like y'all. Like, you guys are the church. You're included. You come with the package. We're all Christians, guys. The devil wants us to look unpleasing to non-Christians. They want us to be weird. Weird. Christians. Right? Women preaching as men. Right? People super religious, everything's wrong, sending people to hell left and right while they're the ones with the biggest sins, critical, judgmental, hypocritical, self-centered, self-righteous, right? Oh, we're so holy, we're so the best because we do, what? Part of the verse that you don't want, that I don't want you to miss is this part in verse 26, in your anger do not sin. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. See, because he wants, the devil wants to come and divide us. He wants to distract us. He wants to discredit our witness. But we have to be Christ-like. We have to love the world, all of the world. Don't let the sun go down. In other words, don't let the day end with you being angry. Are you holding on to anger for years or resentful against that person? See, the day of your hurt should also be the day of your healing. As Christians, the day of our hurt, what this verse tells me is the day I get hurt, the day I'm offended, the day that I'm angry should also be the day of my healing. Before that sun goes down, say, God, I didn't understand it. I didn't like it. It was uncomfortable. There's hurt. There's pain. It wasn't right. They played me wrong. They did me dirty. Like, seriously, it was wrong. But the day of my hurt should also be the day of my healing. The day that you are hurt, betrayed, offended, it should be the day that you reconcile. If it's not possible, if you're going to take anything away, I have so much material to give, but the piano's playing, so that's my cue to wrap it up. And it's my son-in-law. If it's not possible, listen to this. Heavenly Father, speak. Speak to the hearts in Jesus' name. If it's not possible to reconcile with them, reconcile it with God. That's it. If it's not possible to reconcile it with them, reconcile it with God. Imagine how different our world would be. How different our families would be, church. How different our friendships. Imagine how different our church would be if the same day that we were offended, we would say, I'm sorry. We would admit, I was wrong. We would say, will you forgive me? And hardest of all, truthfully, hardest of all, we would say, I forgive you. I forgive them. Oh, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just started a touch on your word, but you've already begun such a good work inside of each heart. And I know when you stir things up, it's not to accuse, it's to heal. It's to prune, it's to work through. Holy Spirit, do your work. Do what only you can do in each heart, in each mind, in each family. We don't want to give the devil any room, but we want to give you all access. You have all access. You have complete access. And Lord, if I can't reconcile with that person, with those people, Lord, I reconcile with you. I reconcile this issue with you. Stand to your feet, church. We let it go. We let it go. Say it with me. I let it go. And I move on. In Jesus' name. I let it go. And I move on.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with your family, friends, frenemies. Lord knows we all need more Jesus. Until next week.